morning, everyone. Let's all stand to the doxology, please.
Welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning as we come and spend some time worshiping Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's good to be in God's house. We're glad that you're here. Those that might be in the parking lot, anyone that's listening later on the website, we welcome you into the service. Praying that God would just speak to your heart, minister to whatever needs that you have. And He's so good about that. You know, we have trouble focusing just on one person sometimes, but God can focus on, 7 or 8 billion people in the world and care about every one of us, love every one of us. Let me pray. Father God, we bow before you this morning, humbly acknowledging that you are our King and our Lord, our God. Thanking you for salvation, for our Lord and Savior Jesus. Thanking you for the indwelling Spirit who guides and teaches and comforts. Thanking you for your presence here at Barber's Grove this morning. And Lord, I pray that you might have your way in this service today. Speak to each member of the congregation as we need to hear. And Father, may we have ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear, not just physical ears, but spiritual ears to hear what you're saying. Lord, we do love you. We sure appreciate you loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Good to see our visitors, and good to see them back again. That's always good to see. Fill up a row over there, Brother Jim. That's good, dear. That's good news. Got a little bit of business I want to do before we do anything this morning. We have another survey that we would like for you to, if you don't mind, we're going to have it passed out. Lionel, if you would, please. And what we're asking you to do is, and if you would, please, before you leave, when you leave today, come down and put them down front for the answers on this. Got three questions for you, yes or no, what they'll be. Would you be in favor of changing Sunday school time back to 10 o'clock a.m. or in Sunday worship to 11? That's number one. And number two, would you be in favor of having a church choir back again? And would you be willing to be a member? That's it. And then would you be in favor of discipleship training? Something that we've not been doing in a while. So we need to look. So that's what we're going to ask you to answer. But the only thing I would ask you to do is don't answer them while the pastor's preaching. I promised him I wouldn't let, I'd say something like that. He never complains, but I want to be sure. Okay. So, with that being said, let's do what we normally do every Sunday morning. We're going to have a hymn sing this morning, and we're going to sing a song of special invitation, a special request this morning. Lori's sister, Karen, lost her husband, Mark, and Lori has asked that we sing Because He Lives as a special memorandum to Mark. So that's what we want to do this morning. So let's all stand, please. Because He Lives, and we'll do all three verses. It's on the board, please.
Thank you.
someone said, amen. Welcome someone and sit, have a seat. This is Baptist Men's Day, and I want to thank someone special. I kind of believe in giving people the flowers while they can smell them. You know, that's kind of that way. We've got a Baptist men's leader that never takes any credit for anything. He's got a heart as big as he is, and he gives of himself more than you'll ever know. I know, because every time I need him, he's there. This Baptist men's leader is what I go back in the days of when the old shepherds used to go through their flock, and they'd pick one sheep there, and they put a bell around his neck. And the reason to put that bell around that sheep's neck, because that sheep was a natural born leader. And wherever that bell sheep went, that's where the sheep went. Jeff, thank you for being our bell sheep.
Amen.
Thank you, Jeff Kay. That needed to be said, and I mean that so much. Did you? I know you want to say something about this morning.
Oh, just and thank everybody for coming out and yep. helping. It was fun. It was great. I enjoyed it, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, brother. All right. Hey, we got some announcement here. Got right on the look here. Chris is back there smiling, and the button's popping off his shirt, and a just so happy man. He's a happy man. It's a girl, Darcy Ann Whitley, born January the 7th, that she's a week old today. How about that? Wonderful. And she weighed 8 pounds and 1 ounce, 19 and a half inches long. And the proud parents are Baron and Emily Whitley. And proud grandparents are Chris and Veronica Whitley, Mark and Michelle Clarkston, and proud great-grandparent Barbara Whitley. And we're glad to have Miss Barbara back this morning. You went through a few little trials, didn't you, Miss Barbara? So glad to have you here. So congratulations to all of you. So there. Yeah. We want to continue on with the announcements this morning. Don't forget Wednesday night. You all need to be here. Come. Pastor Ed's going to start a new series and some new things. And he always challenges us. It's a good Wednesday night Bible study. So come and be part of it. Next Sunday, Sanctity of Life, Human Life Sunday. And Rosina or Tonda or anyone, do you have anything you want to say about that, please?
Yes. In fact, I was just discussing that with Ms. Rosina this morning. If we could, all of our wings, if you're here, go up front quickly this morning before we leave after service, because we would like to touch on this subject.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. All right. So I think you all heard before you go that way, Wings members come this way and meet with Miss Rosina and Tonda about next Sunday. Okay, very good. Quarterly conference will be coming next Sunday, and we'll have some things to go over with you at that time. And also these surveys that we've been asking you to fill out, this last one today will be added to the one you've already done. And Lionel, who has been crunching the numbers, he'll be responsible. We'll be reporting to you all during this conference the results of that survey. And so so please be sure they're very important. These surveys we're asking, the reason we're asking you to do it is because we'd like to know how you feel. This is a democratic society that we live in. And I want to be sure that you understand that we want to do what's best for the church and for God, of course. But we want you to be happy, and we want to do what you need. So please do that. Please fill those out. We want to hear from you. We have that in there, the annual contribution statements. If you haven't picked them up, they're out there waiting on you. So I believe that's got everything this morning. Have I missed anything? Building the grounds, you'll meet on January the 17th at 6:30. Building the grounds.
No, 7:30.
7:30? Oh, okay, Robert.
It'll be after.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. It would be. Yes, it would. I'm sorry. 7:30. Absolutely. That's what we want them to do. Absolutely. That's the key, Robert. You know, Robert, he's just so easy to pick on. I shouldn't do it that much, but it's because we love you, Robert.
It is fun.
Yeah. All right. So remember, building the grounds, 7:30. Okay. Are the others? being said, let's go and go to our prayer request for this morning in prayer.
Our co-worker, I had asked for both of her parents that she was struggling.
Yes.
Her dad passed last night, so please be in prayer for the family of Don Williams.
Don Williams, okay. All right, others? Yes, Ms. Rosina. Sheila and Bobby Eford, okay? Family.
Correction Leonard on the Sheila deal, it's the family of Sheila Dale.
Okay.
Our services were yesterday.
All right. Family of Sheila deal. Yes, Janice?
Margaret Furr.
Oh, I didn't know she passed away. Missed that. Margaret Furr, all right. Others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for another opportunity we can be in your house and be able to worship your name. And Lord, as we've already been this morning, we're already blessed people that we're be able to be here, and you have given us the strength to be here and be here early this morning. We thank you, Lord, for our Baptist Men's Day. We thank you, Lord, for each one who came out today, those who came out and labored at 5:30. And then, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those who came and fellowshiped with us. Thank you for Pastor Jim, Lord, as he came and presented a message to us, a challenge to us all. And, Lord, we thank you for him. We pray a special blessing upon him and his ministry. Now, Lord, as we remember the special request that we received this morning, we want to remember Tonda's co-worker, Don Williams' family. We remember them this morning. And remember Sheila and Bobby Eford family. Family of Sheila Deal. Remember that family as well, Lord, we pray, as we pray for them. And then the family of Margaret Furr. Lord, there seems to be a lot of people coming on up to see you. And Lord, we know it's not going to be very long till we'll all get the chance to go. But Lord, while we're here, help us to be mindful that we have a job to do. We need to tell others about Jesus. Help us all, Lord, to be burdened for the lost souls. Help us, Lord, to do that each and every day. Now, Lord, as we go further in the service today, we ask a special blessing upon Pastor Ed as he comes and as he preaches a message to us for our hearts and our lives. And, Lord, that we may minister and be a witness to some other soul. Now, Lord, these blessings I ask in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we are here to worship, and we want you to all stand as we sing a praise song this morning. Now is the time to worship. So it is in time. We've been worshiping already, but now let's all stand if we could please. Now is the time to worship.
Now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to now
Children's Church? Aren't you glad that you could go to the Lord anytime, anywhere, and no matter how you are? You may be feeling on top of the world, or you may be feeling like you've really blown it and sinned, but you can go to the Lord, and you're welcome in His presence. Amen. You know, ordinarily on Baptist Men's Day, we have a layperson come and share his testimony, and he will tell you how he got saved and how he's been living for the Lord. And I really planned on being in Tulsa today for a prayer conference, but when I looked at my phone this morning, the temperature in Tulsa was zero. The high today is 8, and there's a chance of snow, and I'm here. And so I decided I'd share my testimony. Now, as old as I am, y'all may be here to dark. No, I'll try to let you out at a decent time. But I've given you bits and pieces of my testimony from time to time in sermons or newsletters, but I thought I'd take a little longer and just share some of the things that the Lord is done for me and blessed me during the year. And I was thinking about 1 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16, where it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." He says, be always ready to tell people while you hope in Jesus. Be always ready to give your testimony. And everybody's testimony is different. Everybody's testimony is different. And you know, there's some folks that have a testimony that I was a drunk, I was a druggie, I robbed banks, or I did this, that, or the other, and when I was 50 years old, the Lord saved me, and I've been living for him ever since. And then there are those that are like myself that got saved at a very early age, and I didn't rob any banks, and I didn't become a drunk or a drug addict or anything. But I got my mama to account for a lot of that. When I was 2 years old, we moved about five blocks from West Alvarado Baptist Church. I was the oldest. Mom and Dad got married when she was 16 and he was 17. And he built that house that we lived in. And four little boys, me being the first, came along just about as fast as you can have them. So by the time they were 21 or so, Mama was 21 or so, they had four little boys. And we went to church every Sunday. Now, Daddy never did go. He finally got saved right before he died, but he never did go. But Mama, and she didn't learn to drive till about the same time I did. So we walked. It didn't matter if it was raining cats and dogs. It didn't matter if it was snowing. It didn't matter if the wind was blowing or it was cold. It didn't matter if it was 100 degrees. We walked. And I don't remember us ever having boots or umbrellas. So if it was snowing 6 or 8 inches and our little shoes, you know, I guess we had snow in our shoes when we got there. It didn't matter to Mama. We were going to church. We were going to church. And as I was thinking about that, I got to thinking about, I had a memory. There was a family, last name was Blake, that lived up on the Concord Road, right behind where Hillside Baptist Church is now. And sometimes they would carry us home in bad weather, a couple of blocks out of their way to do that. You think, well, that's not a big deal. Now, just wait a minute. Three adults in the front seat and nine kids in the back seat. Because if I remember correctly, they had five, or it might have been six. That car was full. And you know what that says to me? Folks, anything we have, we can use for the Lord. It may not be ideal, but we can use it for the Lord. Your home may not be the finest, but you could have a prayer meeting there. I had prayer meetings and Bible studies in Brazil in homes with dirt floors. And the only water was at a community spigot out in the middle of the compound. And I don't know where they used for the bathroom, but anyway, they were welcome us into our home. Anything you have, you can use it for the Lord. How thankful I am for a mom that took us to church. Greatest thing you can do for your kids is make sure they're faithful in the church. And Mama never changed. After I moved to Solar City as pastor and after I moved to the mountains, if I came in and maybe helped Dad on the farm a little bit, go back by the house for supper, Mama says, we're having Bible study, we're having a mission study, or we're having revival, says, I'm going to church. I said, well, come on, go with me. It didn't matter whether I went with her or not. Mama's going to church. She'd say, well, you can hang around and I'll be back in an hour, hour and a half. But Mama was faithful, and I thank God for a mama that was faithful and set an example for me. As I said, I don't have a testimony of wild living because at age 8, I got under conviction. I needed to be saved. I needed to know Jesus. I was lost. And I wanted to walk down the aisle and accept Jesus, make it public. And Mama and then my grandmother and an old maid aunt kept saying, you need to be sure. You need to be sure you know what you're doing. I am sure. No, you need to be sure. And Woodrow Hill was our pastor, and he had a, you know, final service before he moved to another church. And I wanted to go down so bad I could taste it that day, but no, they kept saying, you need to be careful. You need to be cautious. And I didn't go. And I waited and I waited and I waited, and finally, I just couldn't stand it any longer. May 24th, 1953. A lot of you weren't here then. And I was sitting right behind where Leonard is right now. I don't know when I started sitting by myself. I didn't sit with Mama and my brothers, but at some point I just went sitting by myself. And I stepped out and I went down the aisle with an interim pastor, Mark Lovelace, who was the professor at Wake Forest University. And I said, I want to give my heart and life to Jesus. Now, it's interesting, and I've got something here. West Albemarle, back then, and still does, has a newsletter. They said it was incorporated in 1948. So they've been doing a newsletter ever since 1948. Now it's digitally once a month. Back then it was once a week. And they weren't shy about talking about people. There's an article on the front page. We used to, for a prayer meeting on Wednesday night, we'd stand up and count off. Everybody's 25 and younger. 1, 2, 3, 4. Everybody 26 and up. And it says, well, last week there were 41 young people at prayer meeting. And we're not going to talk about how many adults, because they'd be embarrassed. Says, are you going to, adults, are you going to let the young people beat you? There's also an article here on the front page about this lady who's a little upset that they didn't invite her to help with Bible school. So she just picked up the phone and called and says, hey, I want to help with Bible school. Here's why they didn't ask her. She had 5 small children, 3 months, 16 months, 4, 6, and 8 years of age. And they thought she had her hands full, so they didn't invite her. And so she got sort of bent out of shape and said, hey, why didn't you invite me? I want to help. Now, I told you that to let you know that they wrote a lot about people in this newsletter. On the back page, they wrote about me, and my grandma kept it. And here's what they said. At the Sunday morning worship service, little Eddie Louder came forward accepting Christ as his Savior. 9-year-old Eddie never misses prayer meeting. I had to walk because Mama couldn't go with all those little kids. Has read every book in the church library designed for his age group. We're getting books from other sources to help him supplied. We're expecting great things from this fine young man. Who knows but what he will be another Billy Graham. He will be member number 802. Now, I don't read that to make you, to be proud, but to for you to sense, here was a church that cared about its kids. Somebody noticed that I needed something to read. Somebody noticed whether I went to prayer meeting or not. I think back to those days, you know, Nobody had air conditioning. In summer, the windows were up. And I usually sang Sweet Hour of Prayer and on the way home at the top of my lungs, walking up the road. Whatever we'd sung that night, I'd sing it. And I think probably the people in there say, I'll be glad when he gets a little further up the street. But you know, I just love Jesus. I just love Jesus. And I had a church that noticed it. I had a church that cared. I had a church that loved me. And that made all the difference in the world. You never know. I mean, how they picked me out to be a preacher at 8 years old, I don't know. But they did. But those of you that work with the kids, the youth, you don't know what they might become. Sometimes you think, they're driving me to distraction. Sometimes you think, they're not learning anything. But who knows? Who knows but what you're changing somebody's life forever as you share with these kids what a difference it makes. Encourage them. And you know, I think of all the opportunities that West Albemarle provided for the kids. I remember one thing especially. When Hall Lowry became our pastor, he started something he called the IAH Club. Anybody ever heard of that? I am His. Saying, we belong to Jesus. And I didn't know it till after we were married, but Pam says she was in that club too. Now, she's 2.5 years younger than me, but she says she was in that club. I remember we had a little silver ring that we could wear. And we'd have a meeting every so often and talk about giving our life to the Lord, being surrendered to the Lord, letting the Lord use us in whatever capacity that he wanted to. And Reverend Allred was a frustrated non-missionary. He was in the CBs in the Navy in World War II. Came home, and I think he worked in a cotton mill or something for a year or two, and then the Lord called him to preach. He went to seminary. When he got out, he wanted to go to the mission field. But back then, you know how the missionaries did, Southern Baptists did, you had a year, you sailed, and then you spent 4 years on the mission field, and you came back for a year, and then 4 more years, and back for a year. And they didn't want to really put a lot of training into you if you weren't going to stay. And they didn't want to do it when you were older. And I don't remember the exact age, but they wouldn't take you as a foreign missionary if you were less than, I'll say 30 years, if you were not less than 30 years old. If you were over 30, they wouldn't take you. Well, unfortunately, he had a doctorate in ministry. Dr. Allred was 32, so they wouldn't take him. Well, a few years later, they upped the age to 34. But by then, he was 36. And I think later, they upped the age to about 40, but by then, he was 44 or something. He never could go, but so many times, he talked about missions, and he would give an invitation that went something like this: are you willing, whatever your age, to do whatever God wants you to do, wherever God wants you? And I don't know how many times I went down and I wasn't the only one. A lot of kids in that youth group went down and we'd get on our knees and we'd say, yes, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want. Most of you know about my family farming and running the curb market. And I tell people I was just born old. the year I was 8 years old, Daddy had a curb market down there at the same location that later the building was, just a canvas over a frame. Mama with the little kids didn't drive. And Daddy took his truck and moved the family's furniture to Chicago and was gone a week. Who ran that curb market? 8-year-old Eddie. When he came back, I had $100 in my pocket. I was excited. I'd sold $100 worth of stuff while Daddy was gone. How many 8-year-olds do you want to give $100 to right now? By the way, that was $1,952. That'd be like handing an 8-year-old several thousand now. So I was just born old. I went working in another grocery store for another man when I was 12. In between that, I had a paper route that covered 3 miles up around Lakeview Baptist Church, up the Pennington Road. But I'm so glad for those experiences because I can relate to David as a farmer. I can relate to people that have gardens. I can relate to people that have an education. I ended up at Chapel Hill and then at seminary. Ago next Sunday, January 21st, changed my life forever. Dr. Ulrich had announced his retirement, and they gave him a going away party that Sunday night, January 21st. And I don't know how many hundred people were there at the church that night to wish him farewell. But West Admiral, if you've never been in there, it's just like here. You can go out that door or that door, and then you feed around into the hall. And lo and behold, and the hall back there was not, I don't believe it's as wide as this aisle. And the steps down to the fellowship hall aren't as wide as that aisle. And lo and behold, I ended up beside of this beautiful 15-year-old named Pamela Allman. Now, I was too shy. I'd have never talked to her in the parking lot or anywhere else. And because I was older, I was not in the same Sunday school class. But, you know, we got to talking. I mean, you know, two people side by side and the crowd, you know, in front of us, they're all stopping to talk to Reverend Ulrich. So we weren't moving fast, and we talked and we talked, and we went down the steps, and we got to the steps. We just stepped over here and let everybody else go talk to the preacher. I never did speak to him that night, but I talked to her for an hour and a half. And Tuesday night, I was at Indy for the ball game because she was a cheerleader. And about 5 years later, she became my wife. And in one of the newsletters, I talked about the fact that back in those days, churches were not locked. And how many times she and I, when we were out, you know, during daylight hours, we'd go by the church. And for some reason, we always got on our knees on this side. I don't know why. It's no more closer to heaven than the other side. But we always got down on our knees and we prayed together, Lord, what's your will for our life? What's your will for our life? And in one of the letters that I wrote, that we still have, letters that we wrote to one another, I said, I am so glad to find a girlfriend that'll pray with me. 15 years old, she had a heart for God. Guys and gals, if you're somebody that wants to date you, won't pray with you. Drop them like a hot potato. If they don't love Jesus, the marriage won't last most of the time. Look for somebody that loves Jesus. That changed my life. I went to seminary. In 66, I'd been preaching some. I announced that I was going to endeavor to become a pastor, and they licensed me to preach, 1966. I went down to a church called Love's Creek, which is on Highway 64 in Siler City, is their interim. The Sundays that Pam went with me, they didn't bug me. But the Sundays that Pam didn't go with me, they tried to hook me up with the young lady that led their music. Now, I won't exactly say she was beautiful, but she did later participate in the Miss North Carolina pageant. She didn't win, but she was talented and she was beautiful, but nobody had my heart like Pam. And then, and I told you in one newsletter how, because Pam was only 15, and it had only been 15 2 months when we started dating, her mom and dad would break us up and wouldn't let her date me until she dated some other guys. But we always got back together because we believe that's God's will for us. In 1967, they ordained me to preach because I became pastor at Brush Creek. And it's just like here. I went to Love's Creek as their interim, moved over to Brush Creek as their interim, and they just had a fuss. First Sunday I preached there as their interim, people on this side sitting there like, and you could have put your freezer contents in that building because everybody was mad. And they fell in love with Pam, and so after a while they said, would you be our preacher? Now, did you hear what I said? They fell in love with Pam. She didn't like for me to tell it that way, but I said, the Sunday that they voted us in, I said, everybody come out and just sort of hug your neck, honey. Oh, we're so glad to have you. And I said, three or four of them even shook my hand. And then 12 years later, when we left, they gave us three presents, and all of them were for her. Hey, I get it. All the churches called her, and I just was part of the package. I know how blessed I was with that, a wife that was not only beautiful outside, but was beautiful inside. Folks, don't discount your blessings. Don't discount your blessings. In 1980, I came back to Prospect in Albemarle. 95, I went to the mountains, Dutch Cove. 2010, I retired. Moved to Oklahoma because that's where my daughter and her family were. Didn't much more than get settled in good. Lo and behold, they left for Australia as missionaries. And we moved back in 2016. I became the interim at Troy. Then I became the interim here in July of 2017. And I'm still here. God's been so good to me. He has been so good to me. I thank the Lord. It's not always been smooth sailing in the churches. I know the scripture talks about the disciples said, Lord, we've left all to follow you. And he said, you'll receive houses and lands and people and friends and fathers and mothers. I thank the Lord that I've got friends scattered all over the United States because of the ministry. Because of the ministry the Lord's given me. The Lord gave me opportunities 3 times to go to Honduras, 2x to go to Brazil on mission trips. God blessed me so much. And I thank the Lord for his blessings. because I realized I didn't deserve them. I didn't earn them. It was out of his grace, his mercy, his love that he blessed me. Two great children, four great grandchildren. Great in the sense they're great, but they're not great, great grandchildren, you know. But now at this point, I realize, you know, the Bible never says anything about retirement age. Noah was a few hundred years old when he built that ark. Abraham was 75 when God called him to leave his family and go to a new country that God would show him. Moses was 80 when he encountered the burning bush. The Apostle John was probably somewhere between 80 and 75 and 90 when he wrote the book of Revelation. You never get too old to serve the Lord. You're never too young to serve the Lord. If I could set an example as an 8-year-old by going to prayer meeting, if I can preach at almost 80 years old, it doesn't matter your age. God can use you. You have gifts and experiences that are unique to yourself. And those are exactly what God wants for you to use when he puts you in certain situations. It's interesting, you know, just to sit down with somebody, and next thing you know, they're talking gardening or farming, and I can use that as a way to get into spiritual things. Or, you know, if they want to talk about literature or something else, I can use that as a way to get into And so it is with you. Nobody's testimony is like your testimony. Nobody's experiences are like your experiences. You have your own unique learning of the Bible. In other words, there's verses and chapters that mean more to you than others, and they are probably different from mine. But if you'll be open and sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, God will bring across your path people that need to know what you know, that need to experience what you've experienced. I think of a very precious lady that was my, and I've told you this story before, but was my secretary in the mountains. Now her 15-year-old daughter was tragically killed in a car wreck on her very first date. And it still hurts. It still hurts. And it still hurts that mom and dad. But how many people that came into the church office over the years after that to fix the copier or to work on this or to do that, that before it was over with, Rebecca was ministering to them out of her own pain because they had experienced a similar pain. Folks, always be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the people I've met over the years. I thank God for a mom that made sure I knew Jesus, that set a godly example. I thank God for a church that loved me. When I became pastor at Brush Creek, I thought, I sure hate to move my membership. I love West Alamosa good, but I thought, well, I guess if I'm going to be pastor, I guess I'll have to move my membership. Didn't want to. But you see, my church meant so much to me. My church meant so much to me. And you know, they invited me back from time to time to preach. I used to joke, Well, I guess they come in here to see if little Eddie ever learned to preach. You know, it's love you kids. Love you kids. Minister to them. Make them proud to be a part of the family of God. And don't retire. Don't give up and quit. The world is full. Well, not full, but there are a lot of folks that serve the Lord for a few years. For some reason, I hadn't thought about this family in years. There's a family in West Albemarle that was so faithful. They were church leaders, and their kids were all, you know, about 2 years older than me and up. And when that last kid graduated from high school, the whole family graduated from church. And that was the end. Never saw them again. And I'm thinking, why? Was their heart not really into loving the Lord? Was it just for show? What causes you just to quit? When Jesus died on the cross for our sin, when he loves us so much, he that's faithful to the end, the Lord blesses. I'll stop with that. There's a lot of other things I could tell you, but just emphasize, love your kids. Be faithful with them. I could name dozens of kids over the last 60 years that have said to me, I'd love to come to church, but my mom and daddy won't bring me. I'd love to be saved, but my mom and daddy won't get me to church enough to make it come to pass. Oh, thank God for a godly mom. Some of you could say the same thing. Same thing. We'll have a few moments of invitation. If there's somebody that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. If there's somebody that needs to rededicate your life or make a fresh commitment, somebody that needs to say, as we were asked to say so long ago, Lord, my life is yours. I'll do and I'll go however you lead. The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Would you come? Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Don't forget to turn in your surveys if you could.